As a mother, I bury my jealousy of my children. The impulsiveness which dictates their lives and the simplicity with which they grab at it. But most of all, I am jealous of how easily they can be soothed, scooped up and settled with a hand that cups a whole head and wipes up all woes with convincing resolve. Their cries are an incantation and demand a summoning. Skin, fabric folds, binding bodies and low voice. When my child pushes her sticky eyes into my shoulder, or I hold a screaming face to my belly while stroking hair and encouraging, "Yes, yes, you poor thing, it hurts. I know. You're so brave. I'm here." I'm envious of their noise and outpouring. Simultaneously, I allow the soothing charms to flow from me as one of my few elemental abilities, a gift given to me by blood loss and pain, one that will be short-lived. My career as easer of injuries and absorber of tired tears will be a swift one, and I will be left to pine for this brief enchantment. I listen, I cook, I play, I watch, I look, I cuddle, I wash, I tidy up, I see red, I connect, I laugh, I cry, I'm exhausted, I'm content, I'm mummy. I'm not a mother. I will never be a mother. I have no intention of being one. I'm not made for mothering. I've known that since I was a child, and it's never wavered in me. There's an unbroken line of mothers before me. My mother, my grandmother, a spiralling strand of mitochondrial DNA that stretches back thousands of years and ends with me. I'm the last of my line, by choice. The mothers in my family have sometimes been such monsters that motherhood wasn't something I aspired to. I found family in friends. I found surrogate mothers in older women, the mothers of my heart. But a child, a family of my own, was never something I longed for. It was an inheritance I didn't want to continue. My life has a different shape, a different pattern. It is free, simple, spacious. My time is my own. I can spend it and squander it as I wish. My body is my own. It will not be changed by pregnancy, childbirth, and parenting. Sometimes I get called selfish. I'm expected to justify and offer up meaning for my life without children. Or others feel there's an undercurrent to my choice, a judgment of motherhood and their lives. There's not. I choose what makes me happy. Children are that for other people. Both choices are equal, valid and worthy, with their own challenges and joys. One doesn't diminish the other. As I get older, my choice not to have kids becomes more final. I have no regrets. I know I made the right choice for me. I see more women in my generation and younger choosing not to have kids. Money, climate change, concerns for the future, the strain of raising kids without a wider community to support come up as reasons. Or simply wanting a different kind of life. It has been a journey of discovery, one of instinct and self-doubt, pure love and devotion. At times it is challenging and I can feel completely overwhelmed, but for the most part it brings me the utmost happiness. My son is my world and has been at the forefront of my thoughts, dreams and actions for almost 2.5 years, longer if I include my pregnancy. His energy and wonderful free spirit have given me great focus and motivation to keep going, especially through this year of lockdown. It has been a difficult year, but I feel so incredibly lucky to have spent each and every day with him. Of course, there are rough roads and tough days to contend with. Sleep deprivation and exhaustion have become a normal state for me, as Sleeping isn't something our son has ever paid much attention to. Now, expecting our second child any day, I wonder if I will do anything differently and change the way I did things first time round. I couldn't be more excited that our family is growing, and the nervous anticipation of the new baby is real now. I have found my thoughts recently drifting to how my love and time will be shared between my son and the baby. How will I cope with juggling them both while giving them all the love and support they need? I don't know how it will all work, but I know I can't wait to meet the little one, and when the time comes, introduce them to their big brother. As the country eases out of lockdown, and with spring here, the timing of the baby's arrival feels quite symbolic for our family. The beginning of a new chapter and exciting times ahead. I am a daughter. I am a sister. I am a wife. And now I am a mother. Your mother. My heart beats stronger, aches harder, breathes softer and overflows beyond time and space with love like I never knew love could exist. In fact, it never existed like this before. Not until I became your mother. Motherhood has me digging my earth, discovering the very tips of my roots, delving into the cycles and wombs that held me before I too breathed the air that we now breathe together. I am confronted with all that I am, all that I was before, and all that I hope to be. As the soil falls from my hands, leaving its traces beneath my fingertips, I open to the knowledge that I am your vessel. I am here for you with my whole being, unconditionally. But you girls are your own. You belong to yourselves. Though you are not mine, my heart is yours. I am more grateful than you can ever know that you both chose me to mother you. My heart and arms are wide open. I embrace it all. You are my wisest teachers. You are my heart. You are my life. Everything you need is already within you. For you are the moon, the stars, the sun, the sky, and the earth. The whole universe lives inside you. Thank you, forever and ever. Your mama. I see you, and in essence, I see myself. You need me, you want me, and I recognize the longing, the lasting sting, the desperation to be loved. I wanted her the same way. I've always been so scared of you. Scared that I be the mother that was bestowed upon me. Scared I'd resemble her face. Scared of perpetuating inadequacy. So scared I thought you'd never come. That I'd never be ready for you. You are so easy to love, but you make it harder to love myself and impossible to love her. With every breath, I fall deeper for you. Your innocence, your beauty, your sweet soul. Yet I question my actions, my thoughts, my intentions. The more you are, the less I feel worthy of you. And then there's her. She has failed me on so many levels. More evident the more I get to know you. The more I love you, the less I love her. Her flaws become so blindingly obvious, glistening, when previously I was able to cover them, hide them within my mind. But you are there, wanting me to love you, needing me to just love you, just as I would have done to her. Just knowing that makes her hard to love. I've spent my life making excuses for her inadequacies. A long line of loveless mothers. Where does it end? It ends with you. It ends with me loving you and you teaching me that I can love you, that I am worthy of loving you. You didn't just make me a mother. You allowed me to experience unconditional love for the very first time. I still see you, but now I can see myself as well. Difficult, they say. I don't know how you do it. Is motherhood as I expected? Thankfully, I try to live in the present as much as possible, or I may have been caught up in a tornado of worry if I knew I was going to become a single mum for the first time at the age of 40, during a global pandemic, at the beginning of the first lockdown, before we had Zoom and Teams. I know no difference, so at times I laugh to myself and think this birthing, mothering business must be a breeze if you have a loving and supportive partner, a family who are allowed to come around, and no COVID-19. Would I repeat the experience of the past 12 months? I think I'll pass. I am super happy with my little boy, and he is all I need. Yes, at times it has been difficult. Probably the hardest point was 24 hours after my boy was handed to me over the blue screen. We had an emergency C-section, and I was told I could go home. I had walked, rather very slowly shuffled, to the bathroom and had an enormous pee, which was the criteria for discharge. The panic came over me, and I insisted they called Stroud Maternity Unit. I couldn't go home on my own after having major surgery, a new baby, and nobody there to help. So Stroud Maternity Unit became our home for a few nights. The other hard time I recall was the 4-month sleep regression. I cried and he cried. I felt so helpless, but we got through it. These are fleeting moments in time and soon pass, and I wish now I could hold my big boy to sleep in my arms again. Do I wish I had a partner to help me out in these times? Looking back, no. We find our way and have no one to explain ourselves to or interfere with our routine and way of doing things. No one questions me when I shuffle the nap times or start baby-led weaning. I believe my baby and I know inherently what each of us need, and so it unfolds, week by week. I do, however, feel sad that I haven't been able to capture precious moments of us together. Selfies with a wiggly baby and trying to find my new best side, my body isn't how I remember it, aren't easy. It still takes me by surprise when our image pops up in a window on our daily walk or I pass a mirror. Anyway, I digress as always because baby brain really is a thing. We have come to the end of lockdown and come to the end of our first year together, still just the two of us. A fleeting thought came to me the other day that my baby boy will never see me at my best. Pre-pregnancy and baby. That was a moment thinking of an image, superficiality, for this is me at my best, doing what has come so naturally to me, nurturing, loving, respecting and caring for us. To you, my beautifully handsome baby boy, you amaze me every day and fill my heart with so much love, joy and happiness. I never considered where the journey of motherhood would take me. It has filled me with the deepest love, elation, amazement and gratitude, reignited my sense of wonder with the world and given me unending purpose. However, it has also left me confused, frustrated, overwhelmed and sometimes depressed. Nobody tells you how hard parenting can be at times. I've discovered I'm not the mother I thought I would be. Some days I feel so overwhelmed. Some days I feel propped up by my husband's steadfastness and my mother-in-law's kindness. Some days I want to hide from myself. But every time these feelings come over me, I get up and try again. I'm learning compassion. I'm learning forgiveness. I'm learning patience. Both for others, but also for myself. I am blessed with two boys born 2 years apart, They are my companions on my voyage through motherhood. Though I gave birth to both of them, their lives have rebirthed mine. They unearth issues buried in time from the past and urge me to face myself. They help shape me into the mother they need me to be. Now I am a mother, I understand my mother more and begin to understand the complexities of motherhood through my rebirthed eyes. Birth is vulnerable, raw, incredible. My motherhood feels vulnerable, raw, and incredible. I hope in time I can look back and feel proud of my vulnerable, raw, and incredible self. The three poses I chose to make for the motherhood shoot relate to different stages in my journey as a mother. Having my first child completely turned my world upside down. Not in terms of the birth. I was lucky in birthing both of my children at home. However, I was totally unprepared for the shock. Even though everyone tells you how different life is and will be, you just don't really understand until they are there. I remember thinking, oh, now I get it. The weight of the responsibility is heavy and loaded, and of course lovely and wonderful, but there really is no turning back. I had my second child 10 months after my dad passed away. After I stopped breastfeeding her, I felt really low and was surprised at just how low I had become. I received some counselling to cope, which brought up much sadness around my dad and losing him. The weight felt overwhelming. During my counselling, I remember talking about my dad and what a strong and powerful man he was. I wanted to embody his strength inside me, to take on his stability and inner calm. I remember thinking of him being as strong as a mountain and wanted to make myself like a mountain, strong and solid. More recently, I've been on a journey of self-development and am working on how to manage my worry. I think as a mum, you always worry about your children. It's natural, but sometimes it gets in the way and it's hard to overcome. Working on myself, I've been trying to think more about being a warrior than a worrier, about being open and strong and unbounded. I want my kids to think of me like this last photograph: open, playful, strong, determined, and brave. I felt that I was quite hard on myself in the early years, striving to be a perfect mum. I found it almost impossible to allow the stumbles and falls of early childhood. I was the classic helicopter parent. I'd worked in the social care sector for many years, and my assessment of myself and my parenting was unduly severe. I needed to get it right to be perfect. I felt I was under constant supervision. I had to be strong and unfaltering, always available to scoop up my sons. One evening, as bath time was drawing to a close, I lifted my youngest son out of the bath to wrap him in a warm towel, just as he decided that he definitely wasn't coming out. My back just went completely, and it may well just have been one of those things, but for me, back problems tended to coincide with periods of stress. I'm not sure how I got my son out of the bath. I literally crawled out of the bathroom on my hands and knees, trying to work out what I was going to do, how I was going to meet the needs of my child, and how, most importantly, I could start checking in on myself to make sure that this didn't happen again. Whilst the delights of becoming a parent were boundless, and on the whole I felt relatively prepared, the enormity of my new responsibilities hadn't quite sunk in. As the mother of a beautiful boy, working full-time with a vulnerable client group, an ageing father, the juggle of being emotionally and practically available to everyone, and honouring my commitments to them and my close friends, as well as making time for myself, the overwhelm very soon became apparent. Whilst I was doing everything that I ought to, I really wasn't doing much for myself. I was wondering if I had somehow missed the memo. My mum had died when I was in secondary school. I often wondered, had she been around when I was pregnant and after I became a mum, if that crazy juggle would have been a little less of a shock. I had practiced yoga for a long time, but struggled to fit in regular practice after having my children. It felt impossible to fit that into any kind of schedule. When I finally picked it up again, I couldn't believe that I'd left it for so long. I guess everyone's practice is personal to them, but 30 minutes each morning is pure golden light to me. It nourishes me, it heals me, I feel connected. The lights are dimmed, the candles are lit. It is such precious time. Interestingly, when I make time for yoga, I feel that I have more time. My two sons both adore reading Greek myths, which were, for the most part, new to me, and I've been able to develop my own understanding and passion for them after reading novels by Madeline Miller, who gives a modern, feminist perspective. It's been useful, as the myths are hot topics in our household. I've read that to garner a deep understanding of the Greek myths is to understand more fully the human condition. Now, I'm far from being an expert classicist, but I get that despite our best efforts, we are all fundamentally flawed, and that should, to some extent, be accepted. Sometimes my yoga practice is a bit rushed. Sometimes my youngest son is sitting on me. Sometimes it can't really be called yoga. There are times, though, when I'm on my mat and I am Achilles, on point and aiming, if not always on target, trying my best to reach the stars for me and for both of my boys. Yesterday, I spent the whole full day with grown-ups. It was brilliant. I think I only checked my phone twice. Someone else cooked, someone else was in charge. It was heavenly. I wore no watch, went barefoot. I was not mum. Mostly. Although I am, of course, always, and proud to be. It's just good to be off duty for a bit. Especially after the intensity of lockdown. Wow. I am mother to two awesome girls, now 8 and nearly 12. Feisty, bright, themselves, I hope. Mostly. There's Miss Nearly 12, oscillating between cool independence and sensitive vulnerability. Mama, I can't sleep. Can you read me Millie Molly Mandy again? And Miss 8, dancing between free-spirited wildness and something more held, off to school to earn her pen licence and negotiate the playground politics. But yesterday was not about them, and not about me being a mum. The project management, the remembering, water, snacks, hats, pens, teeth, shoes, jostling, reminding, come on guys, we have to go, anyone need a squeezy wee? No, not today. Although I did find myself habitually tidying the fling of shoes outside the rehearsal space. But for big chunks of the time, I was definitely just me. I ended sentences. I lay on warm grass without the anticipatory twitch of an imminent pylon. And then, of course, in the breaks, I talked about the girls. Because my love and pride and worry and awareness of them is always there, even if it's safely tucked in my basket bag outside the rehearsal room with newly tidied shoes. I got home late last night. No one was there. My partner and the girls had decided to have a camping night. The house was dark, quiet. It's never like this. And I could have felt sad, but I chose to feel relish. I can't remember the last time I could claim a lie-in without stage whispers outside the door. And now I'm writing this, in bed, on my own, and there's an old memory of me stretching her limbs and cradling in beside the version I find I am at 40. My 20-something self whispers, ah, this is good. Remember this? The bed is clean. Not damp with breast milk, no crumbs, no tears, no extra wiggly bodies squeezing into the 4 a.m. bed. Don't get me wrong, there's much I miss. Their biscuity baby smell, stories snuggled on the mummy sofa, tiny pudgy hands in mine. but I am also relieved to have moved on from those early years. I couldn't ever catch my breath, couldn't work out where I ended and they began. I can feel my strength returning and the edges around myself getting clearer again. Being a mother feels like an honour. A knackering, scary, beautiful, irritating, magical, powerful honour. But it doesn't feel like my all-consuming identity anymore. And that feels good.